General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Tonight I have a simple story for you. A story of the wanderings of what may be deemed quite the most remarkable real-life hippopotamus that ever lived. It was in 1928 that Huberta, for that was her name, decided to move away from Zululand and travel south. During the course of some 30 months of harmless vagabondage through ports and settled communities where a hippo had long been unknown, Huberta reached the Kaiskama River in British Capraria. Here then is her story. Huberta goes south. St. Lucia Bay is like a great ring of gold. Its sapphire seas and sky seem as one. The blue rollers foam and glitter around the inshore reefs. Behind the glowing coast are lovely yellow lagoons and lakes. Such was Huberta's home. You may wonder why she left it. It has been suggested that her trek was inspired by a desire to revisit the ancestral haunts of her species. Or, possibly, she went in search of a lost mate. Yet, these notions seem fanciful. They don't carry conviction. I think it far more likely that she was trekking from some terrible memory of the massacre or dispersal of her kind. Suffice it that, in the year 1928, Huberta began her long tramp south. And throughout the long days, months and years that followed, it seemed that she was ever desirous of deeper withdrawal from the herd. It is hardly necessary to point out that when Huberta began her great trek, her plans for the future were somewhat uncertain. The problem which chiefly concerned her was that of the next meal. Though, as she went south, she must have felt that, with all the corn and cane fields about her, the outlook was promising. It was in the November of 1928 that she crossed the Umhlatuzi River and then stalked on over the blood-soaked acres of Chaka, passing the very grain pit in which it is said his body had been cast exactly 100 years before. Observed on her journey.
Yebo Tagati. Oh, behold the spirit of Chaka seeking his lost impis. Black he looks under the moon, and his nostrils snort like thunder. Now are the great days of old come again.
Fortunately, the great days of old had not come again, and Huberta proceeded on her way, blissful of the frightened natives she'd just passed, and quite unperturbed by the historical ground over which she plodded. In fact, she probably said in her own hippo way,
"What care I for Chaka when he's dead, and so are all his men? High problems to sustain my girth by browsing nearer Mother Earth. I need no bed, I read no books. Poetry just leaves me muddly. You'd hardly say I had good looks, though hippos think I'm rather cuddly.
In short, my friends, do not expect from me displays of intellect. For in my estimate of things, there's more in cabbages than kings.
So Huberta plodded on. The following evening, she met her first European in the form of Terence Cassidy, a tramp. Cassidy was on his way to a certain inn in the next village. The day had been hot, and as the sun went down, he thought he'd rest a while beside the road. Cassidy looked up. There was something coming along the road behind him, round that corner there.
There's somebody coming. It's funny. I've never heard a noise like that before. Oh, good evening, sir. I wonder if I could sell you... Oh, it's the hippopotamus. Oh, no, it can't be. I'm seeing things. Oh, glory be. I'll sign the pledge after this. I swear I will. The saints preserve us. I'm off.
Cassidy made rapid progress to the next village and arrived there much earlier than he'd expected. He hurried into the local inn.
Yes.
Here, give me a double cane, please. A
double cane it is.
Thank you.
You all right? You look as though you've seen a ghost.
A ghost? No, it was the potty hippo. A hippo. A hippo.
A hippo. If I was you, I'd take a little more water with it.
No, look, I tell you, it was a hippo. It was coming for me. Opened his mouth.
I think George here is right. You've had enough. I suggest a nice, strong cup of coffee. Black.
Black.
It was only that Huberta had been hungry and was merely striving to say so with that open mouth of hers. But alas for human stupidity, when she presently closed it to get a better view of the road, and also perhaps because nothing had been put in it, the man who had stood there a moment before had vanished. So she gave an irritated flick of her tail and plodded on south. It was on the morning of Thursday, November the 22nd, that Huberta first appeared near the hamlet of New Gelderland on the north coast of Natal, some 50 miles above Durban. A challenging bellow drew the attention of some Indians working in the sugar cane.
Hey, look, man. A hippopotamus.
It can't be, man.
It is, I tell you, man. It's coming this way. Hey, I'm not stopping here.
No, me, I'm not stopping here either.
At this stage, Huberta's fame began to grow. This being the first wild wanderer seen in Natal for years, folk flocked from far and wide to see her. Her name appeared in the press.
Reports have been received that a hippopotamus has been seen in the vicinity of New Gelderland. This is the first time that a hippopotamus...
Over the air from Savoy Hill in London.
Huberta the Hippo, now fast becoming the national heroine of South Africa, has reached the Umvoti River in Natal. It is reported she is in the swamps, and the public have been advised not to approach too near to her.
And finally in Parliament.
It is my pleasure, then, to inform the House that the hippopotamus, known as Huberta, has now been proclaimed royal guest. And, as a result, is exempted from all harm.
Yes, murder had rarely hit the headlines. Every move she made was faithfully reported, and the world waited with bated breath for the next item of news about her. In her movements down the coast, Huberta maintained a rough sense of direction. Whether she awoke facing north, south, east, or west, the final line of her trek was always south. As time went on, she reached the wild, lonely lagoon at Umhlanga, 120 miles south of St. Lucia Bay. She slept and roamed in the age-old woods where the trees remained as in the days of Dingaan, and the monkeys swing and chatter along the branches. Huberta loved it all. The moonlit night, she felt, had a myriad of eyes, but they were friendly. There was an abiding peace abroad. And so, by night, she would sally forth foraging for food, and a cunning vagrant was she, forsooth, in all her mysterious comings and goings. It was on a Monday morning early, June 3rd, 1929 to be exact, that there was some excitement at Sydenham, northward of Durban, when it became known that Huberta had arrived at the local farm. She had proved herself surprisingly adept at coming and going unseen, but on this occasion she unwittingly woke up a mule that happened to be standing near to a cow shed.
Oh, what in heaven's name is all that about?
I've no idea, John. You'd better go and see.
All right, I'm coming. What a way to start the day.
Well, you'd better take the gun. It sounds as if we're being attacked.
Oh, don't be silly. Yes, what is it?
Bus. Bus. Oh, a big animal. Mbubu. He make big trouble with cows, Bus.
A big animal. Well, come on, shall we?
There, Bus. Oh, look, Bus.
For heaven's sake. It's too bad.
Oh, she make plenty trouble, Bus.
Go on! Go away! She's going. She's moving off.
But Huberta wasn't to be fobbed off quite so easily. Oh, no. In the cold light of dawn, she'd espied a patch of cabbages, and most enticing they looked. She moved towards them in a most purposeful manner.
Where's she going?
Oh, she go to the cabbages, Bus.
She can't do that. Cabbages are a premium this year. You just can't get them. Hey, you! Come on now, off you go, off my farm! My fence! Oh, no, this is too much. No, you can't.
But Huberta could. She started in one corner and worked her way along each row. Slowly but surely, the first row began to disappear. And if perchance she missed a cabbage, well, she trod it into the ground as she went. Mr. Jardine, for that was the farmer's name, stood transfixed. His precious cabbages, something he'd guarded, cherished, all disappearing into the inner regions of this vast creature.
What am I to do? What am I to do, Andrew? I can't shoot her. She's royal game. Anyway, I don't want to shoot her. What am I to do?
Bus, you must go to the police station. You must make bigger complaint, Bus.
Yes. Yes, you're right. Saddle my horse. I walk to the police. This has got to stop.
In a cloud of dust, John Jardine left for the police post 4 miles away. On arrival, and as so often happens, the sergeant was out. He presented his case to the constable on duty.
Good morning, Mr. Jardine. It's a nice day.
It's nothing of the sort. I have a complaint.
Do you wish to make a charge?
It's my cabbages. That hippopotamus is eating my cabbages.
Oh, your Bertha, yes. Yes, she's been seen around here.
I'm telling you, she's eating my cabbages.
Yes, sir. Then you will be charging your Bertha with damage of property?
I'm not interested in charging anybody. I just want that animal removed from my farm, and if she's not, I'll shoot her.
Mr. Jardine, your Bertha is royal game. To shoot her, you must first make application to the sergeant. And he, in turn, makes application to the magistrate. And he, in turn, must be...
Make application to the Prime Minister, I suppose. In the meantime, what about my cabbages?
Your cabbages? Yes, Mr. Jardine. Can you not move your Bertha?
If I could, would I be here? Oh, this is getting me nowhere.
I'll see what I can do, sir. But there's only me and the sergeant, and first I must make a report to
you. Oh, for goodness sake, man, I'll have to try and move her myself.
God sees. Good luck to you, your Bertha.
What happened, Andrew?
Oh, boss. It is very sad, boss. They are all finished.
Oh, boss. No. All of them. Not one left. How dare you? Get off, I say! Shoo! Go away!
Huberta plodded on her way, now content with life and full of cabbages. The lights of Durban loomed ahead. It was her intention to plod straight through, and she did in fact make the attempt. She visited a police station, ambled through the grounds of a club, and was seen moving cautiously forward along the seafront. But it was a chemist's window that finally made her change her mind. She couldn't take the gigantic green, rose and purple eyes glaring at her from the bottles and dappling her clumsy body. She turned and clattered back to the river and beyond, to Mount Edgecombe and Umhlanga. But she was still determined to go south, and the skill with which she made this retreat and detour, the unobtrusive manner of it all, was quite extraordinary. Huberta plodded on. By now, her fame was worldwide. Those countries using broadcast systems were full of the news of her.
That graceful lady, Huberta, moves on. She passed Durban and is continuing on her journey south.
Huberta marche toujours. La belle dame marche toujours.
And here's more news of Huberta. She has bypassed Durban. If you look at your charts, you'll see she's still in square 4. Oh, there's a news flash just come in. Huberta has just crossed over into square 5. She's in square 5 now and still moving south.
Yes, dear Huberta. Yet, nevertheless, she had begun to yearn for companionship. She would often listen enviously to the companionable sounds of the herds returning at sundown from the grazing grounds. She even attempted to join them, but was always rebuffed. Huberta gradually became hypersensitive to sound. So much so that, let me tell you, a certain society of Bantu bandsmen held its church practices on Friday nights. It happened that on this particular Friday night, the society, presided over by the Bantu vicar, was rehearsing Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture. Not very well, admittedly, but a fine effort was being made by all.
Okay, let's start again from the beginning.
Now, it also happened that Huberta was in the vicinity at the time. She heard a heavy and somber drumming. It reminded her of the thud-thud of a running herd. She heard also a grotesque trumpeting and plaintive high squeals as of terrified calves stampeding with their mothers. A little frightened at first, she nevertheless moved in the direction of the sounds and came to a wall with a yellow square of light coming from it. Perhaps here she would find a mate at last. In her excitement, she bellowed loudly.
Help! 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 Help!
Gibraltar thrust her great muzzle through the window. The room was empty. Here was no mate, obviously. So once more, she plodded forth into the night. She had, she felt, entered into the land of the incomprehensible. Huberta went solemnly on her way south, following almost exactly the same route traversed by Dick King on his historic ride to Grahamstown. She was rarely molested now, her fame having preceded her. On she went across the wide Umzinkulu and past Port Shepstone, 79 miles south of Durban. A few months later, she reached Port St. John, and towards the end of 1929, she ambled into the upper estuary of the Umzinkulu, where she stayed for 4 months. During the next year, she dallied here and there, and in the March of 1931, she reached the valley of the Nahoon River. On Sunday, March the 8th of that year, engine driver Bird, in charge of a freight train traveling between King Williamstown and Berlin, saw in the glare of his headlights a large obstruction on the line.
What the devil's that? Slow down, Joe!
Bird brought the heavy train to a crawl, and slowly the irresistible force moved towards the immovable object.
Well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty. It's a hippo, fast asleep on the track. Come on, move! Joe, give him a toot on the whistle! All right, try a blast of steam. Okay, chum, you've asked for it. Slowly forward.
Moving at what may be truthfully described as a snail's pace, the giant locomotive gently nudged Huberta with the cowcatcher.
Easy does it.
Instantly she awoke and lumbered to her feet.
And the same to you.
Huberta, definitely offended, trundled off into the Nahoon River. On April the 9th, she was seen at Witchkranz, 6 miles from Berlin.
I don't know whether I'm seeing things, but there's a big animal in the water over there.
Eh? Where?
Rather big willow.
You're right. But there aren't any crocodiles here.
It's... Yeah, but it can't be.
I don't know what it is. But I don't like things like that in our stretch of river.
Did you get it?
I don't know. Here it is again.
All right. Let me have a go. All right, that's enough. You're both good shots. You must have hit it, whatever it is.
Twice in the head, once over each eye. It was on April the 23rd that she was found by the Kaiskamma River, just within the Pedi district. She had died on a lovely stretch of water with crances and euphorbia trees about it. The news was flashed throughout Africa, indeed across the world. To many South Africans and to their children, the death of the strange vagabond deprived them of a cherished friend. Who killed Huberta? The mystery was solved on May the 21st, 1931, when three men walked into the office of the magistrate at King Williamstown. It appeared that the old farmer could neither read nor write, and had never heard of Huberta. And, according to him, his two sons had told him nothing about it. At the subsequent trial, they were each fined £25 or 3 months. Huberta's head and hide were taken to the Capverian Museum, and the famous hippo's claim to immortality was consolidated there in effigy. An untoward end, nevertheless, to a great animal adventurous.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.